Yes, Minister by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lynn, starring Paul Eddington as the Right Honourable James Hacker MP and Nigel Hawthorne as Sir Humphrey Appleby, with Derek Foulds as Bernard Woolley in The Writing on the Wall.
I'm still not happy with this report, Humphrey.
Then, Minister, we should be happy to redraft it for you.
You've redrafted it three times already.
Oh, that's not absolutely correct.
Yes, it is, Bernard. I can count. This is the third draft.
Quite so, Minister. Therefore, it's been drafted once and subsequently redrafted twice.
Don't quibble, Bernard.
Sorry, Minister.
We should be happy to redraft it a third time.
And a fourth time, and a fifth, and a sixth, no doubt. But it still won't say what I wanted to say. It'll say what you wanted to say, and I wanted to say what I wanted to say.
What do you want it to say?
We wanted to say what you wanted to say.
I'm sure the department doesn't want you to say something that you don't want to say.
Pete, stop. All I want to say is that the civil service is grossly overmanned and must be slimmed down.
Quite so. That is what the report says.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Oh, yes, it does.
Oh, no. No, look. I'm talking about a phased reduction in the civil service of about 200,000 people. Are you going to put this in the draft or not?
Perhaps, Minister, if you'd care to take the draft home this weekend and study it, you might find that it does indeed say what you want it to say.
And if it doesn't?
Then we shall be happy to redraft it, Minister.
Humphrey, will you give me a straight answer to a straight question?
So long as you're not asking me to resort to crude generalisation or vulgar oversimplifications, such as a simple yes or no, I shall do my utmost to reply.
You mean yes?
Yes.
Right. Here's the straight question.
Oh, I thought that was it.
Humphrey, in your evidence to the think tank, are you going to support my view that the civil service is overmanned and feather-bedded or not? Yes or no?
Well, Minister, if I'm pressed for a straight answer, I shall say that, as far as we can see, looking at it by and large, taking one time with another in terms of the average of departments, then in the final analysis it is probably true to say that at the end of the day you would find, in general terms, that, not to put too fine a point on it, there really was not very much in it one way or the other. As far as one can see. At this stage.
Does that mean yes or no?
Yes and no.
Suppose you weren't asked for a straight answer.
Oh, then I should have to play for time, Minister. Yeah, Bernard. Good of you to pop in.
Oh, my pleasure, Sir Humphrey.
Do sit down. Bernard, you know the department's report to the Central Policy Review staff? We haven't had it back from the Minister yet.
No, Sir Humphrey.
Why not?
Perhaps you should ask the Minister.
I'm asking you, Bernard.
Yes, Humphrey.
You don't seem to be replying, Bernard.
Yes and no, Sir Humphrey.
Bernard, are you trying to be impertinent?
No. I'm sure I would succeed if I tried.
Ah. There you are, Norman.
Yes, sir.
A scotch on the rocks, please.
Yes, sir. One, sir.
Yes, just the one. Bernard, is the Minister doing his boxes properly?
Oh, yes, indeed. He's most conscientious.
Then what's going on?
Perhaps you should ask the Minister.
I'm asking you, Bernard.
But I'm the Minister's principal private secretary. I'm responsible to him, aren't I?
You are indeed, but you are also a public servant. A minister's average tenure is 11 months, Bernard. But your career in the service will last till you're 60, won't it?
I hope so.
So do I, Bernard. However, the choice is yours.
Yes. Sir Humphrey. Can I ask you a hypothetical question?
That's always a good idea.
Suppose a minister, a purely hypothetical minister, were to be unhappy with a departmental draft of evidence to a committee, And suppose that minister were to be planning to replace it with his own draft, worked out with his political advisers and people at his party headquarters.
I can't believe it.
No, of course, it's purely hypothetical. And suppose this minister was planning to bring his own draft in so close to the final date for evidence that there won't be any...
Wouldn't
be any time for the department to redraft it for him.
Well,
suppose this hypothetical minister's principal private secretary were to be aware of this hypothetical draft, in confidence, of course, should he pass the information on to the permanent secretary of this hypothetical department?
Certainly not, Bernard. Not if the principal private secretary has been given this information in confidence.
That's what I thought, Sir Humphrey.
Have a drink, Bernard. Just one other thing, Minister. The evidence to the Central Policy Review staff.
You mean the think tank?
Yes, Minister.
What about it?
Have you redrafted the redraft of your draft?
You don't want it yet, do you?
Yes.
Why?
So that we can redraft it.
No, that won't be necessary.
I think it will, Minister.
Humphrey, drafting is not a civil service monopoly.
It is a highly specialized skill which few people outside the service can master.
Nonsense. Drafts are easy. It's a game anybody can play.
Not without getting huffed. So could I have the draft back, please?
Of course, Humphrey.
When, Minister?
Later, Humphrey.
Yes. But when?
Well, you always say we mustn't rush things, don't you?
Minister, I must ask you for a straight answer. On what day? Tomorrow? Monday? Tuesday?
In due course, Humphrey. In the fullness of time, at the appropriate juncture. When the moment is ripe. When the requisite procedures have been completed. Nothing precipitate, of course.
Minister, it is getting urgent.
Urgent, Humphrey? You are learning a lot of new words.
Minister, I hope you will forgive my saying this, but I'm beginning to suspect that you're concealing something from me.
Humphrey, surely we don't have any secrets from each other?
I'm sorry, Minister, but sometimes one is forced to consider the possibility that affairs are being conducted in a way which, all things being considered and making all possible allowances, is, not to put too fine a point on it, perhaps not entirely straightforward.
Well, you're the expert on straightforwardness.
So what about the draft evidence to the Central Policy Review staff?
Well, since you ask, Humphrey, to be perfectly straightforward, I have redrafted it. And I don't wish you to redraft it. I'm perfectly happy with it as it is.
May I be so bold as to ask what you have said?
I've said what I wanted to say. Phased redundancies in the civil service.
But,
the
Minister...
You frustrated me over the economy drive. You frustrated me over open government. But this time I'm having my way. The party wants it. The public wants it. And I'm bound to say that all we get from the civil service is delaying tactics.
I wouldn't call civil service delays tactics. That would be to mistake lethargy for strategy. Minister, the evidence that you are proposing to submit is not only untrue, it is, which is much more serious, unwise. We've been through this before. The expanding civil service is the result of parliamentary legislation, not bureaucratic empire building.
So, when this comes up at question time, you want me to tell Parliament it's their fault the civil service is so big?
It's the truth, Minister.
I don't want the truth. I want something I can tell Parliament. Humphrey, you are my permanent secretary. You are supposed to enact my policies. Yet, and I can't understand why you seem implacably opposed to them. I must know where you stand on all this.
Where one stands, Minister, depends on where one sits.
Am I to infer from that you will not support me?
We shall always support you, Minister, as your standard-bearer, but not as your pall-bearer.
What are you saying, Humphrey?
I should have thought my meaning was perfectly clear, Minister. Do not send such a report to a body whose recommendations are to be published.
Well, that's precisely why I'm going to send it. And I don't want to hear any more about it.
May I say just one more thing?
Well, only if it's in plain English.
Very well, Minister. If you must do this damn silly thing, don't do it in this damn silly way.
Minister, I'm afraid you'll be late for Cabinet if you don't hurry.
Oh, yes, Cabinet. What are we talking about this morning?
Cabinet is discussing your proposal to close down the land registry.
My proposal?
Yes, you remember, reducing the number of autonomous government departments.
Your proposal?
You initialed it, Minister.
Did I? What was in it?
Oh, don't worry, Minister. It'll all go through on the nod.
Oh, good.
Got all the stuff?
Yes, Minister.
Come on, then. I'll be late.
Humphrey.
Ah, Jumbo.
Have you written your department's evidence to the think tank yet?
More or less.
What do you mean, more or less?
Well, the minister has written it.
Humphrey.
Yes, I know. It's very ill-advised, but he insisted. He's worked at nothing else for more than a week now.
You should never let ministers get so deeply involved. Once they start writing the draft, the next thing you know, they're dictating policy.
I know. Is this going to be a lengthy cabinet?
No, don't think so. Ghastly waste of time, isn't it?
Oh, yes. But if we're not here to hold their little hands, who knows what they might not get up to.
Humphrey.
Oh, excuse me, Jumbo. Yes, Minister?
You know that I'm recommending to the Cabinet that we close down the land registry.
Yeah.
Why?
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 Why are we closing it, or why are we bringing it to Cabinet?
What?
What?
Humphrey, why am I making that recommendation to Cabinet?
Well, surely you know.
Well, no, that's just why I'm asking you. I made the recommendation. You said it would all go through on the nod. Now the PM started asking everybody very awkward questions, and I haven't had time to read my proposal.
It's because there has been a 9.75% rise in the number of autonomous government departments.
Right. Of course. Thanks. 9.75% rise, number of government. Got it.
Helping to restrict the growth of autonomous government departments. That should find favour with the PM, policy-wise.
Oh, hello, Donald. Why?
Very fashionable, simplifying the civil service, especially now that there's the think tank recommendation as well.
But they haven't reported.
Yes, they have, unofficially.
Well, they can't have. They haven't even taken all the evidence.
The central policy review staff do not sully their elevated minds with anything as squalid as evidence. You may take it they will be advising the PM to reduce and simplify the administration of government.
Well, keep me busy, I suppose. Oh, well.
Wouldn't count on it. But I'm sure you don't expect me, as the Prime Minister's senior policy advisor, to betray confidence as permanent secretary.
Well, not your colleagues, certainly.
On the other hand, no doubt the grapevine would inform you by lunchtime.
Inform us of what?
Humphrey, you know that your minister is always seeking to reduce overmanning in the civil service?
Yes.
Well, he's going to get his way. The Treasury and the Home Office and the Civil Service Department have all proposed abolishing your Department of Administrative Affairs.
What?
And the PM is smiling on the plan.
But that's absurd.
Clean, dramatic, very popular politically, and no real inconvenience. Let's face it, all your functions could be subsumed by other departments. Jim Hacker will win through with a thoroughly public-spirited, self-sacrificing policy. The PM will probably kick you upstairs. Lord Hacker of Kamikaze.
I hardly think that's funny or likely.
Why not? He ran the leadership campaign against the PM, didn't he? Yeah. It will be the PM's masterstroke. At one fell swoop, approbation, elevation, and castration. You know the PM's motto, in defeat, malice, in victory, revenge.
Abolish my department? Absolutely. Out of the question. Simply can't be done.
I'm sure you know best, Humphrey. Oh, by the way, there's a job centre in the Horse Ferry Road. The number 36 stops right outside.
I'm appalled.
You're appalled. I'm appalled.
I can't believe it. I'm appalled. What do you make of all this, Bernard?
I'm appalled, Minister.
So am I. Appalled.
It's appalling.
Appalling. I just don't know how to describe it.
Appalling?
Appalling. Are you sure it's true? You sure he wasn't having you on? They can't seriously want to abolish this entire department.
Well, it rings true, doesn't it? I've just seen the joint departmental proposal.
That Whitehall's full of proposals.
Well, Donald's very close to the PM.
But what's going to happen? Where will I go?
Well, there is a rumour, Minister.
Rumour? What rumour?
Minister with general responsibility for industrial harmony.
Industrial harmony? You know what that means. That means strikes. From now on, every strike in Britain will be my fault. Mars.
Well, have you considered what might happen to me, Minister?
No,
I'll probably be sent to ag and fish. The rest of my career dedicated to arguing about the cod quota. And as for you, Bernard, if your minister bites the dust, your reputation as a high flyer, such as it is, will be hit for six. You'll probably spend the rest of your career in the vehicle licensing centre in Swansea.
Oh, my God.
It's your fault, you know.
My fault.
It was your proposal to reduce the number of autonomous government departments.
It was your proposal to carry out a phased reduction on the civil service.
Oh. All right. What do we do now?
We could put a paper up.
Up what? Put a paper up. Brilliant.
Well, have you any suggestions, Minister?
No. No. I'm...
appalled.
I think we must really work together on this, Minister.
You've said that before.
What do you mean?
Your idea of working together is you tell me what to do and I do it.
Oh, Minister, that isn't true.
But this time you've nothing to suggest anyway, have you?
Well, Minister, I was about to suggest that Bernard goes and gets your political adviser.
Frank? You want me to consult Frank?
Yes, please. Thank you, Bernard. And with respect, Minister...
Don't use that filthy language to me.
Filthy language, Minister.
I know what with respect means in your jargon. It means you're just about to imply that anything I'm about to suggest is beneath contempt.
Oh, Minister, no. This time I really do mean work together. I need you.
Do you mean that, Humphrey?
Yes, Minister.
How very nice of you.
Minister... if the Prime Minister is behind a scheme, Whitehall on its own cannot block it. Cabinet Minister schemes are easily blocked. Redrafted, of course. But the PM is another matter. We'll need to fight this in Westminster as well as in Whitehall. Frank Wisel might be able to mobilise the backbenchers on your behalf.
Yes. Now, what about Fleet Street? Could he mobilise the press, too?
Well, if there's no other way.
Mr. Wisel.
Ah, Frank. I suppose you heard the news.
Well, he's just told me.
What do you suggest we do?
Well, I can't think of anything. I'm appalled.
Look, we've got to stop flapping about like wet hens. We've got to do something to save the department from closure. Now, I want you to get through to the Whip's office to mobilise the backbenchers and to Central House and try and stop this before it starts.
Well, I'm awfully sorry to quibble, Minister, but you can't actually stop things before they start.
Yes, thank you very much, Bernard. Frank?
It's not so easy, you know, Jim. It will actually be a very popular move with backbenchers.
But what about a publicity campaign? You know, administration saves the nation. Or red tape is fun, full-page ads, and... Well, it was just an idea.
Red tape is fun?
Well, what about red tape holds the nation together?
Well, there's no doubt about it, the writing's on the wall.
Well, in any event, we'll have to do something to make the public think kindly towards administration because of the Europass.
Yes, quite so.
Europass? Europass?
Yes, European Identity Card, Minister. Bernard, surely you informed the Minister.
Minister, didn't you do your boxes last night?
No, I was redrafting the redraft of the draft.
Oh, well, briefly, Minister. Brussels is about to decree that there is to be a new European identity card to be carried by all citizens of the EEC. The Foreign Office is willing to go along with it as a quid pro quo for a deal over the Butter Mountain, the Wine Lake, the Milk Ocean, the Lamb Warm, the Cod Stink. Obviously, the PM wants you to introduce the legislation.
Me?
Yes, Minister, you're meant to be pro-Europe. And it'll simplify our administration enormously in the long run. It's a good idea, don't you think?
Good idea?
Good idea?
Not a good idea?
Political suicide.
You want British citizens to carry compulsory identification papers? They'll bring up that police state thing again. Is this what we fought two world wars for, Humphrey?
Well, it's nothing more than a sort of driving licence, Minister.
It's the last nail in my coffin, that's what it is.
You might get away with calling it Euro Club Express.
Bernard, either shut up or get up.
But why do we have to introduce it? Can't the Foreign Office do it?
Well, I understand the PM did originally suggest that, but the Foreign Secretary suggested it was a Home Office measure, and then the Home Office took the view that it was essentially an administrative matter, and the PM agreed.
They're all playing past the parcel.
Can you blame them? And you can hear it ticking.
Yes, anyway, I fear that the Identity Card Bill is planned to be the last action of this department.
Wonderful ammunition for the anti-Europeans.
Yes, Humphrey, doesn't the Foreign Office realise how damaging this is to the European idea?
Well, I'm sure they do, Minister. That's why they support it.
But the Foreign Office is pro-Europe, isn't it?
Yes and no, if you'll pardon the expression. The Foreign Office is pro-Europe because it is really anti-Europe. In fact, the civil service was united in its desire to make sure that the common market didn't work. That's why we went into it.
What are you talking about?
Minister, Britain has had the same foreign policy objective for at least the last 500 years. to create a disunited Europe. In that cause, we have fought with the Dutch against the Spanish, with the Germans against the French, with the French and Italians against the Germans, and with the French against the Germans and Italians. Divide and rule, you know. Why should we change now when it's worked so well?
But surely that's all ancient history.
Yes, Minister, and current policy. We had to break the whole thing up, therefore we had to get inside. We tried to break it up from the outside, but that didn't work. Now that we're in, we're able to make a complete pig's breakfast out of it. We set the Germans against the French against the Italians against the Dutch. Foreign Office is terribly happy. It's just like old times.
I thought we all believed in the European ideal.
Really, Minister?
If not, why are we pushing to increase the membership?
Same reason. It's just like the United Nations, in fact. The more members it has, the more arguments you can stir up, and the more futile and impotent it becomes.
What appalling cynicism.
Yes, Minister, we call it diplomacy. It's what made Britain great, you know.
But how will the other EEC countries feel about having to carry identity papers? Won't they resist too?
No. The Germans will love it, the French will ignore it, and the Italians and the Irish will be too chaotic to enforce it. Only the British will resent it.
You know what I think? I think it's all part of a plan to get rid of me.
You'll be got rid of anyway if your department's abolished.
Perhaps the PM just wants to make absolutely sure.
Don't be so paranoid.
You'd be paranoid if everyone was plotting against you.
We're on your side, Minister.
Oh, yes,
Minister. Martin will be on our side.
That's true. Where is Martin?
I think the Foreign Secretary's in the House, Minister, where you ought to be.
Right. Let's go and see him.
Yeah, it really is a hell of a problem, Jim. You've done a Samson act, really, haven't you?
Samson?
Yes. You wanted to reduce the civil service bureaucracy, and you've done it. You've pulled the whole superstructure down and buried yourself.
A pyrrhic victory.
No ideas?
Well, I'd help if I could, but...
But I don't understand about the Europass. It doesn't make sense. Why can't the PM see the damage it's going to do to the government?
I agree. I think this Europass has used the worst disaster to befall the government since I was made a member of the cabinet.
I don't think you quite mean that, Minister.
But everyone knows that the Europass won't happen.
Well, then, why?
Look, the PM has to play along with it till after the Napoleon Prize is awarded.
Napoleon Prize?
Yeah, it's a NATO award given once every 5 years. Gold medal, big ceremony in Brussels, and 100,000 quid. The PM's the front runner this time. It's for the statesman who has made the biggest contribution to European unity.
Since Napoleon. That is, if you don't count Hitler.
So?
Well, the award committee meets in 6 weeks. So, obviously, the PM doesn't want to rock the boat till it's in the bag.
You don't put boats in bags.
What's that, Bernard?
Oh, nothing, Minister.
But once the prize is won, the PM will obviously dump the Europass.
Martin, how many people know about the winner of the Napoleon Prize?
Well, it's top secret.
Oh, you mean everyone?
No. No, top secret, top secret.
Well, then that's it. Humphrey, do you see?
See what, Minister?
Backbenchers, leaks.
The Welsh Nationalist Party.
No, Humphrey.
Oh, sorry, Foreign Secretary, I'll come back later.
No, Donald. The very man. Come in. I want to ask your advice.
You know, I will give you any help I can, Minister, though if it's a question of shutting stable doors after horses have bolted, even I am powerless to help advice-wise.
I'm sure you're not powerless in this case, Donald. It's really a sort of moral dilemma. Look, suppose a backbencher were to table a question to the PM about whether or not the Europass...
So, which backbencher? The Europass is top secret.
Oh, you mean like the winner of the Napoleon Prize is top secret?
I think the Minister meant a hypothetical backbencher.
Quite so, Bernard. Thank you. A hypothetical backbencher. A hypothetical question to the Prime Minister asking whether or not Britain is going to adopt the Europass.
Highly improbable.
I agree. Highly improbable. But presumably, if the PM says yes, it would be damaging in the country.
Yes.
And if the PM says no, it would be even more damaging in Europe. To the PM, personally. Well, Napoleon prize-wise. Well, suppose a hypothetical minister got wind of this parliamentary question in advance. What should he do?
The only responsible course would be to ensure that the question was not tabled. That must be obvious.
It's a serious business, trying to suppress an MP's question.
Nevertheless, that is no other course.
The only way to stop him might be to let him table a question asking the PM to squash the rumours about closing the Department of Administrative Affairs.
Whatever made you think? No question of anything but the fullest support.
But you said only yesterday that the plan to abolish the department had been put up, and the Prime Minister was smiling on it.
Smiling at it. At it, not on it. I mean, the whole idea was so ridiculous, laughable, out of the question. A joke.
A joke.
Of course, you didn't imagine.
So a minute from the PM's office confirming this and scotching the rumour will be circulated to all departments within 24 hours so that we can all share the joke, you understand?
Do you really think?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure it can be arranged. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Checkmate, I think.
Game, set, and match.
But can Donald Hughes really fix this? Don't prime ministers have a mind of their own?
Certainly. But as President Nixon's henchman used to say, when you've got them by the balls, their hearts and minds will follow. Isn't that right, Humphrey?
Yes, Minister.
In The Writing on the Wall, you heard Paul Eddington as Jim Hacker, Nigel Hawthorne as Sir Humphrey, and Derek Folds as Bernard. Frank was played by Bill Nye and Sir Frederick by Peter Sellier. Tenniel Evans was Martin, Edward Petherbridge was Dr. Donald Hughes, and Kerry Francis was the butler. Yes, Minister was written by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lynn and produced by Pete Atkin.